Ramsey TV.
My sister Kelly figured out my voice issue, why my voice gets froggy the more I talk. And that is related to the next thing I'm going to tell you, involving my lodging status. And that will lead to my scriptural point, which is the end of endings. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to my laundry room. There's some nice laundry up there. I never know which way to point. This thing is backwards. See a nice red towel up there. I like the color scheme. It kind of matches the red glow of my clock. It is 6:29 in the morning on Tuesday, and I'm glad to be with you as always. Yes, Kelly said that your voice problem, Mr. Froggy, is caused by you being in your car with the air conditioner blowing directly in your face, taking naps. Yes, this is true. Because of my situation here in the laundry room, that this is a public room for 12 hours during the day, if I need a nap, which I do every day because I get up at 4:30 every day, every morning I'm up at 4:30. I go to bed at 9:30 or 10. I can't nap here, right? So I go in my car. See, I go in my car. I put down the seat a little bit, maybe in about a, I'd say, 53-degree angle. And I turn on the air conditioner, naturally, because it's summer and I'm in South Florida. And sometimes I'll sleep for 30 minutes in there. Folks, I run out of gas by not driving. I mean, I spent hours doing this with the air conditioner blowing on me. I'm breathing that, and I had the windows closed. Very clever of me. I'm probably killing myself also. So my sister said, why don't you put the windows down? And I said, I never thought of that. How is it that you, having been born 2 years after me, are smarter than me? Really bothered me. So I'm going to try to fix that situation. I now put the windows down. Makes it a little warmer, but I like it warm. I like it hot. Next topic. This is related. Many of you have been praying for my lodging situation, and you have been sending me contributions to help with it, and it's a good thing because the problem has been solved, but it is quite a bit more, going to be quite a bit more expensive for me to live. But this is the situation. Remember, there's a cottage back here behind the house. I have brought you some broadcasts from the cottage with my back against the wall of the cottage. Remember, a lot of you think it's your favorite studio. It's my best look when I'm sitting with my back against the wall with a garbage can to the right of me and a ladder to the left of me. This is my cathedral. This is my studio of the people, by the people, and for the people. Well, that cottage, the reason I was so vexed after my landlady, Juliana, told me that it was time to move on. Very sweet, though. Very sweet. She just needed some privacy. She wanted her laundry room back. Ooh, she wanted her laundry room back because this used to be her office. Anyway, I had asked her, well, what about the cottage? You know, people stay here. People, this is a part of the Airbnb system. And, oh, Martinico, I'm sorry. I rented it to somebody for 6 months to a year. And I was distraught. So I've been looking. I've been looking over the past 2-3 weeks for places to stay, for places to live. The reason I want to stay down here is because God has given me a circle, a support group down here, a circle of friends that I cannot easily leave. And it's been good for me. And it's good to have these people down here. Plus my dog. My dog is so cute. Charles. A little shih tzu. I can't leave Charles. Charles. Anyway, guess what? 3 days ago, maybe 4 days now, Juliana came to the door of the laundry room and she said, Martinico, guess what? The guy who was going to rent the cottage that I had promised it to him for 6 months to a year, he backed out of the deal. Backed out of the deal. That meant that the cottage was being served to me on a silver platter. I said, I'll take it. So Yeah, it's going to be more expensive than this place. But I looked to God and I said, God, you're the God of all supply. And so this is, I didn't mean this in a bad way. God, this is your problem. Because, I mean, it's not a huge place to cottage, but it's bigger than this. I'm going to have my own bed, my own bathroom. This is major development in the life of Martin Zender. And most importantly of all, I'm going to have privacy. And I think it's going to be good for me. I'm kind of afraid of it, a little bit afraid, because too much privacy is not a good thing. I'm a people person. I like to be around other people. That's why I came to an Airbnb in the first place. But it has been, on this other hand, it's been distracting. And I don't think I really realize just how distracting it has been. So I'm going to be over here. And this is good news, too, for the body of Christ. Those of you who want to visit down here, you will have a place to stay. There is one room, one bath, but the bedroom has a little close-off thing. I'm going to take my futon over there. Yeah, so if you come to visit me, I will sleep on the futon. I'm used to it. I'll put it in the living room. You close the door on your little bedroom, and you have a free place to stay if you want to visit for a few days. A few days. I can't take visitors too much. I'm just being honest with you. I can't. I say probably for me the max is maybe three days or something. You want to come down and visit Martinico? Come on down. Love to have you. So on July 14th, I've actually done some broadcasts from inside the cottage. On July 14th, I will be moving. And the great thing is, I'm on campus. I'm just moving across the yard. It is such a blessing. I'm staying on campus. I'm with Juliana, whom I love dearly. And Charles, my little pooch. I love Charles. We've bonded, Charles and me. In fact, I've arranged, you know, with Juliana, we will have joint custody. We're going to court now to see who gets Charles on what days. It's going to be a real legal battle, but it's going to be another expense, but it's worth it. So Charles is going to be sleeping with me once in a while. I may even have him on my bed. Ah, yes. No more sleeping alone for Martinico. All right, and this brings us to our scriptural topic, which I'm finally getting to, and that is the end of endings. You know how painful it is when things end. It was so painful for me when Juliana came here and said, or she left me that note, Martinico, time to move on. When my marriage ended, many of you have suffered this loss, and it's time to move on. Forced upon you many times, unwittingly, or forced upon you from the outside, not from within you, because nobody likes departures. When you wave goodbye to your parents or your children at the airport or your sister or your brother, it's sad. That last day of vacation, when you know you're going to be going back to work, it's another sorrowful ending. The weekend is a lovely time of not working, and then Sunday, you know, it's coming to an end. There's even a saying for it, all good things must come to an end. Bullcrap, I hate that saying. All good things must come to an end. That phrase is going to be obliterated. It's going to be obsolete. You'll only be able to find it in the history books after we are made immortal. All good things must come to an end. Must come to an end. We are so cemented in our minds. We are so locked into the system, this cosmos down here, that we say it must be that way. Well, it must be that way. And we never trust, do we? We can never totally relax in any situation because we know it might come to an end. I can't go over here into the cottage and revel in my new autonomy because it might come to an end. How do you know, Martin? Well, all good things must come to an end. Well, that's the way it is now because there's this default setting that we have. It's called mortality. That's the big end. Even your life comes to an end. All good things must come to an end. Not true. Christmas, right? Didn't you hate it as a kid when Christmas night was over? It was so depressing. You started counting down the days to the next Christmas. Now, I will admit to you, there are many things that we want to end. Sin, death, disappointment. Here's the cool thing about God. This is golden. The bad things will have an end. But the good things will never end. No more sorrowful endings. No more goodbyes at the airport. How about this for an ending? Funerals. Funerals. Burying your children. Jesus, burying your parents, your spouse. Horrible endings. Well, all good things must come to an end. No, that is going to be changed when we are made immortal. All of these sorrowful endings have been training us and preparing us, giving us the necessary contrast for the big change when no good thing will come to an end. And in fact, all good things will continuously blossom, bloom, show us new beauties, new glories, and it is that, the unfolding of grace, the unfolding of glory, the unfolding of the multifarious wisdom of God, it is that will never end, and it will be a constant joy to the heart. But that little seed that always wrecks everything in this life, that little terrible little seed back there in the brain, that this is going to end, this is going to end. Yes, we're enjoying life, but this is going to end. That doubt, that doom, that's the definition of doom. Doom. What is doom? The word itself sounds horrible. Doom. What is it? It's that sense that things are going to go bad. Things are good now, but they're all going to go dark. It's all going to go bad. Enjoy it while you can, kid, because things are going to go bad. Things are going to end. That is what I call doom. On the new earth, it is specifically said by the Apostle John, there's no more doom. I love that. I hate doom. Doom sucks. And the essence of doom is endings. Endings of joy, endings of happiness, endings of life. But when we're made immortal, there is no more doom. There is no more of that. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that hanging, that knot hanging over your head? We're so used to it that it does ruin every frickin' thing. It ruins it. That nagging knowledge, that's going to be gone. And the key to that is being made immortal. And many of you have expressed to me, you kind of panic when you think of being made immortal. Because as I said before, some days down here on Earth in this system, in this cosmos, they seem interminable. When's this going to end? Some things you want to end, like I said. So when you get to eternity, you think, how can I stand that? Because this is why, this is how you're going to be able to stand it. Because every moment is a new unfolding. God has made all things new, all things new, right? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When we think of that, we think it's a static thing. It's like God waves his magic wand and like, brrr, all things are new. Like, there it is. And it's a one-time deal. It just happens once. Well, there's a new thing. Now you have to put up with the new thing for eternity. No, this is how it is. That's not how it is. All things are made new. And this newness, can you imagine this? Is a continuous newness. There's a scripture that says his blessings are new every morning, or his graces are new. Something about God is new every morning. Every morning it's new. Imagine being in a state of immortality where every moment is a newness, as I said, an unfolding of more, deeper, more magnificent aspects of God and aspects of your life. Surprises. A surprise party every day, to put it in common run-of-the-mill terms here. A surprise party. Now, there's something that's going to make you forget your mortal, make you forget that everything is doom hanging over your head. The surprise party. For one moment, you're surprised. Everybody's there for you. They love you. You hadn't seen that one coming. And you know that you're going to enjoy maybe a couple, 3 hours of happiness with your loved ones. Imagine that now. Imagine that feeling. Every moment. Folks, our bodies, as presently constituted, cannot absorb that kind of joy, that kind of happiness. We can barely imagine a time where there's no doom and there's not that sorrowful waiting for a sad ending. Can't hardly imagine it. And our bodies have to be changed. This is why our bodies have to be changed, to be able to absorb, to be able to carry the weight of glory. As presently constituted, we can't carry it. It would be unendurable pleasure. So our bodies must be changed, and they will be in a moment, in the casting of an eye toward Christ, so that we will be able to bear up under the great wealth of glory that is soon coming our way.